Well, good. So go ahead and open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and pull out your message notes. On the top of your message notes, it says, my current situation. Where we left off last week was Paul was speaking to a certain particular situation. He ends with saying, what happens if you are a believer, if you are a Christian, if you have fallen in love with Jesus, if he's been renewing your spirit, and yet you are married to someone who's not a Christian? Now, some of you, I've heard stories of this. This is a very difficult situation. Some of you got married, and after you got married, you became Christians. Jesus awoke your hearts and began to follow him, and good things were happening. And you looked at your spouse, whether it be your husband and wife, and you're like, let's go, let's follow Jesus together, full blown. But your husband or wife isn't excited about Jesus. They're not into that. And you just go, oh man, did I get into the wrong marriage? Some of you were Christians when you got married, but for some reason decided to marry someone who wasn't a believer, and now you're feeling, and I've heard your stories, kind of the pain, the angst, of, as a couple, you want to do all these things for Jesus, but yet, because your spouse isn't on board, you feel tied down a little bit or handicapped, and you wonder, what should I do? And the questions come up of, did I marry the wrong person? Or sometimes it goes like this, if only I were in a different situation with my marriage, I could do God's will better. If only things were different with my marriage, then perhaps I could really do what God wants me to do. And so Paul says something very interesting. He addresses this. But before we move on to what he says, one of the things that's interesting about that situation is we feel that way in all kinds of ways. For instance, if only I were married, I'd be able to do God's will. Or if only I were single, I'd be able to do God's will. If only I was in the right job, then I could do God's will. Or if only, and you can kind of fill the blank with anything, but sometimes we feel like there are situations where we don't feel like we're supposed to be where we are, and if only we could be in a certain situation, then finally we would be where we want to be and we can do God's will. Have you guys ever felt that way? Just stuck. And so we're going to address that situation today. If I were in a different job, or if a different marriage, if I weren't single, if I was single, then I could be okay. Now, what we're going to do is look at a passage, and Paul uses two words. I want you guys to remember. You might want to write these down. The first one is retain, R-E-T-A-I-N. And it means to just walk. Just enjoy what you're doing. Stop and smell the flowers. Retain, to walk. The other word he's going to use is remain, R-E-M-A-I-N. And that just means to stay, to abide, to enjoy. And Paul brings up these words because he says, no matter what situation you're in, God wants you to remain and retain and enjoy. Just stay. It's as if you're sitting here and God is saying, just stay. And you're thinking, but God, no, I want to be married. Then I can be okay. Then everything will be, once I get married, God, then I can follow you. And God's saying, stay. Enjoy. Remain. But God, my marriage stinks. Do you see my husband? Do you see my wife? I mean, if they were different, then I could really do your will. Can you please get me out of this marriage? And God says, no. Stay. Remain. Enjoy. God, I hate my job. I cannot do your will in my job. Will you please get me to another job or get me a job? Then I can do your will. God, please change my work situation. And God says, stay. Remain. Enjoy. See, one of the hardest things for us to do is enjoy what God is doing right in front of us. It's easy to look behind us and think, oh, if only we can live back then. Or look ahead of us, if only things would change, then I could be happy. But God's word is that he has something for where you are right now. So stay. Remain. Enjoy. It may not be your permanent situation. He's not saying you're stuck where you are, but he's saying that wherever you are, to stay. Remain. Enjoy. Here's the big principle if you're taking notes. Be faithful to the people right in front of you. be faithful to the people right in front of you. Your spouse, your workmates, your neighbors, wherever you find yourself, be faithful to the people right in front of you. And here's the why. And get this. Your presence in their lives makes those people set apart for God. Your presence in those people's lives makes those people set apart for God. And you may not remember, but last week, Paul was addressing the people who were married to the unbelieving spouse. And he says, who knows? He says, by your presence there, you have sanctified them. You have set them apart for God. And you have sanctified your children and set them apart for God. And what God is saying is, I have you purposely in the situation you are right now because through you, I will reach people. Through you, I will set people apart that you see day in and day out. I have set apart people in your workplace. I have set apart people in your family. I have set apart people in your neighborhood. Why? Because you are there. And I am going to reach them through you. So please don't leave, but remain, stay, and enjoy. An example I like to use is Moses. How many of you remember the story of Moses? Good, all two of you. Good. This is great. So when Moses was first called by God to return to Egypt and free his people from slavery, Moses had a lot of insecurities. He was a shepherd. That's what he did. And this is his staff, in case you're wondering what this is. He was a shepherd, and God is saying, I'm going to use you to set hundreds of thousands of people free from oppressive slavery. I'm going to use you. And Moses was like, look at me. I know sheep. That's me. I have nothing. What happens if I go there and no one listens to me? And then God asks a very important question. He says, what's in your hand? In other words, what's right in front of you? He goes, my staff. He says, put the staff on the ground. Goes, okay. And right then, it turned into a snake. Moses ran. And God said, pick up the snake by the tail. He goes, all right. Picks it up, turns back into a staff. See, all Moses saw was, I'm a shepherd. This is what's in front of me, and I cannot do your will with what's right in front of me. And God says, no, you don't get it. Because I am with you, what's right in front of you turns holy. The people in front of you are holy. They are set apart, and you are minimizing your present situation because you don't think I'm there. But I have you right where you are, and my question for you isn't what you don't have, but who and what is right in front of you. I have you there for a purpose. I have assigned you in your present situation, whether it be a marriage or a job, because I can do radical things with the things in your hands because of who I am. And by your presence in those people's lives, I make them holy. I set them apart because I am trying to do wonders in their lives. So remain, stay, enjoy. Amen? See, if we always live in the past and think, I wish I can go back to then. Or if we always live in the future of, I can't wait till I get to then because then everything will be okay. We can totally miss out on what God is doing right in front of you. I made this mistake. After I graduated from college, I didn't know what I wanted to do. My parents spent tons of money on a college education, and I did nothing with it. I didn't know what to do. And so I got a job because I needed a job, and I knew computers, so I got into a computer job, and it turned into 5 years of computer work. And I knew those whole 5 years I wasn't really doing what I felt like God wanted me to do. There's something in me that's like, this is not where I'm supposed to be. And so I'd go to work and grumble. And I'd leave work and grumble. And I'd see my workmates and think, I don't really like you. Why am I here? And I would just kind of go through this. And then, about 3 years into it, all these conversations started sprouting up with my workmates. People began to discover I was a Christian and ask questions of me. I would have these car rides with workmates, and we'd get into it about Jesus and the gospel. And some people who would never set their foot in a church for some reason felt free to talk to me at work about this. And it was right then I realized, God, this whole time, you had me here because you wanted me to reach these people. But I had closed my heart to that because I wanted to live in the past and live in the future. And I almost missed out on the opportunity of seeing that God had set these people apart for him. another situation that happened to us too. As many of you know, we had a very hard time having kids, lots of miscarriages, a stillbirth, and we'd always dreamed of having at least three kids. I wanted four, Becky wanted two, and we compromised three. And we only have two, in case you don't know, and we probably won't be able to have any more. And there was a season where I just felt like, God, I had always dreamed for three kids. And it's very hard to enjoy family without that. And there's just a season of, I can't get over this. And then God kind of awoke with me and says, you know, you have two kids right now who really miss you. You're thinking about the kid you don't have, and your mind's there, and you have these two little boys who just love you. Maybe you should just remain. Stay. Enjoy. And I could have spent a lot of time thinking who wasn't in front of me and totally missed out investing in my boys. You get what I'm saying? But we do that. We do that all the time. And so my question is, who has God put in your life? And I want you to think of who's your spouse if you're married, because that's one of the people. Who's in your family? Mothers, brothers, sisters. Who do you work with? Those are people God has you with right now. It may not be forever, but he has you there right now because he has a purpose and an assignment where you are right now. So remain. See, in your eyes, your situation is haphazard. It's by chance, but not for God. It's very purposeful. It's very ordained. It's very arranged. So I want to talk about how this principle applies. This is the second section of your notes, if you're taking notes. And here's the first. Abide in your marital status. Abide in your marital status. And this is what I mean. If you're married, stay married. Now, last week, I didn't address a couple exceptions to the rule that the scripture talks about. One is, obviously, if your spouse is abusing you, you need to get out. Amen? If your spouse has cheated on you or is cheating on you, you have reason to get out. Those are the extreme cases. But most divorces aren't over those. Most divorces are over resentment. And God is saying, whatever you do, work at your marriage and stay. It is holy. It's ordained by me. So you stay in your marriage. What if you're already divorced, whether it be for biblical reasons or not, and now you're remarried? What does God say? Stay, remain, and enjoy. You are in a new marriage now. So be faithful from this point forward with the marriage you are in. There's no reason to go back and go, do I need to divorce my current husband to get back? No. Stay where you are and be faithful. Learn from the last relationship, and in this relationship, you're faithful and you obey God. Make sense? So stay within your marital status. Now, I think this gets harder if you're single. Because many people I know who are single really wish they were married. And there can be a lie that life can't start until I get married, or I can't really be in God's will until I get married. And God says nothing about that. You can do God's will whether you are married or single. You can do God's will whether you have years of marriage and tons of kids or you have years of singleness. But what happens sometimes, for those of you who are singles, I just want to give you a word of warning. Don't think that God does not have a calling on your life right now. You are single right now. It may not be forever, but right now you are. And so be faithful to who God has put in front of you. And don't put a pause button on your life thinking, I can't really do God's will until I find that man or I find that woman. He has you where you are right now. Here's one more thing I want to say for those of you who are single. We're going to actually hit singleness next week. That will be the main topic. So these are just tidbits. I want to choose my words correctly here. Learn to be happy and content in your singleness. If you are not, if you don't experience God's grace in such a way that you can say, God, even if I never marry, I can be okay because I've experienced your grace and your love. If you don't experience that, it's not saying you're throwing away your desire to get married, but you're saying is, I can be content, God. It's not what I would desire, but I can be content because I have you. And if that's your will for me, I can be okay. If you can reach that point, you will be a better husband and you will be a better wife if that time comes. But if you do not do that, you will be desperate. And you will lower your standards to get some man or some woman so you won't be lonely, and then later think, what did I do? So my word for you, for those of you who are single, is don't be desperate in such a way that you lower, it's okay to have desire. I'm not saying stamp that desire out. Bring it to God, pray, hope, dream. But you've got to reach a point where you say, but because I have God, I can be okay. And something frees up after that. You're not desperate, you're not clinging, you're not grabbing, you're not hoping, you're not trying to carve your own way to get married, but you just sit back and say, I can stay. I can remain. And I can enjoy. And God will bring that person, if that's his will, at the right point. But I don't need to be desperate for it. Amen? So we want to abide in our marital status. And here's the important thing, is neither being married nor being single is significant in terms of doing God's will and his calling. You can be either and be right in line in God's will and follow his calling. Like I said, we're going to hit singleness a little more next week. Now let's look at the word, because Paul had just talked about marriage and remaining in marriage, but then he brings up two other categories of where we need to remain and stay that are very surprising. In fact, you're thinking, wow, really? So here we go. Let's start chapter 7, verse 17 in 1 Corinthians. Nevertheless, each one should retain, there's that word, I mean, just to walk in the place in life that the Lord has assigned to him, meaning where you are right now, God has a purpose for you, and to which God has called him, which means that not only do you have a purpose, but God has a calling for you where you are right now. And this is the rule that I lay down in all the churches. And then get this. Was a man already circumcised when he was called? In other words, was a person already Jewish when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised, which wasn't really possible, but Paul's making a joke here. Was a man uncircumcised, meaning he was non-Jewish when he was called? When he became a believer, was he non-Jewish? He should not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. What counts is keeping God's commandments. Whatever situation, what counts is keeping God's commandments. But here's the thing that Paul's bringing up. He brings up race. He brings up ethnicity. He says, whatever race you are, don't feel like you have to throw it away to become a Christian. Don't feel like you have to throw away your traditions. Some of you come from all, we have a very diverse church. And when I ask, what do you do for family holidays? I get 100 stories. Because we all come from different traditions that are shaped by our culture. And sometimes what happens when we become Christians, we think, well, I guess my culture has nothing to do with my faith. I should just kind of put it on the side. But God says, no. Even your culture has a purpose, a redemptive purpose. You don't have to leave your ethnic background, but you need to remain and stay and enjoy it, because by your presence there, I have set apart your culture for you. Let me give you an example. I didn't ask Blanca or Al permission, so you can talk to me afterwards. But Blanca and Al come from a Hispanic, Spanish-speaking background, and when they wanted to start a small group, they started it for other Spanish speakers. And now we are seeing people who formerly did not know Jesus follow him. They didn't think, oh, that has nothing to do with Jesus, my own ethnic background, my language. No, 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 no. They go, no, even this is from God, and I need to remain and stay. The idea here is that sometimes we don't talk about race and ethnicity in the church, and we think it's something on the side, but Paul brings a very interesting situation. He says, if you're Jewish, you don't have to act like a Gentile to be a Christian. And if you're a Gentile, you don't have to act Jewish to be a Christian. Stay where you are. What's important is that within your own cultural context, you are being faithful and following God's commands. Do you know that there are people you can reach in your family because of who you are and your culture that I can never reach? Do you know that? I don't see nods. Do you know that? There are people that you understand your family better than I do. You understand your culture better than I do. And you don't need to leave that place to follow Jesus, but you follow Jesus within that place because God has people he wants to reach through you. So be where you are. So the second abide, the first was abide in your marital status. The second is abide in your ethnicity. Abide in your ethnicity. And the third is this, abide in your job. Now again, you may not be at your job forever. We're not saying, hey, you're stuck there forever, but what we are saying is where you are now, be faithful. Paul goes on, verse 20. Each one should remain, there's that word again, abide, enjoy, in the situation which he was in when God called him. Now get this, were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although if you can gain your freedom, do so. Let me explain something. We're not talking about U.S. slavery here. Back then, the way slavery worked is that it was a class. If you were poor and you couldn't pay your debts, instead of paying back money, you would say, rather than paying you money, can I work for you for a season? And it was possible to work your way out of slavery once you kind of paid off your debt. Most people who did that, though, chose to stay with the person they owed after they were free because family relationships were developed. It was actually more like a family relationship. And so Paul's saying is, are you in that lower class situation where you don't have enough money, where your job stinks, where you wish you had more? What he's saying is remain there. But of course, if you can get a job and work your way out, do it. We're not saying punish yourself, but what we're saying is don't belittle what God has for you right where you are right now. Verse 22, for he who was a slave when he was called by the Lord is the Lord's freedman. Similarly, he who is a free man when he was called is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. And he goes on, brothers, each man, as responsible to God, should remain in the situation God has called him to. So we talk about abiding in your job. This survey, for those of you who are working right now, how many of you enjoy your job? Hands up. You actually enjoy your job. Oh, that's wonderful to see. Okay, honestly now, those of you who are working, how many of you do not like your job and wish you were out of it? My hand's not up, by the way. I just kind of, okay, all right, okay. I'm like, what God is saying is whether or not you love where you are economically, whether or not you love your job, and God may have something different for you. You're not necessarily stuck there, but where are you right now? Be faithful, because by your presence there, God has set apart people for you to reach, and so work there well. I was having breakfast with a friend last week, and he was sharing, he's a manager in a corporation, and two of the guys who report to him had a full-out, nasty email argument in front of the whole company where they were calling each other names. It was rigid. And these were two guys that report to my friend. And so he pulled one aside and had breakfast with him and helped him talk through it. And he said towards the end, you may not understand this, but I want to tell you, if you forgive this person, that will help you more than anything. I'm like, dude, you're preaching Jesus to him right now. He's like, yeah. And he actually said, and this guy had some faith background, so he referred to it. But he's like, you need to learn how to forgive for the sake of your workplace. Don't let this ruin. And then he said, hey, you want to meet tomorrow again to talk about this? The guy said, yeah. And my friend just shepherded him through this whole process. And so this guy, who was irate, who was called nasty things, went to the person who harmed him and said, hey, I blew my top too. I'm sorry about that. Let's get this right. To my friend and said, you know what? God set apart your work situation, and you just made that holy. And one day you're going to tell him that's Jesus in you that led you to that. But see, my friend could say, oh, this is a secular workplace. This doesn't really count for God. Only things that are in church really count. No. My buddy saw that because he was there, God had a purpose there. I did ask Muchisa if I could share this, but Muchisa sent me a couple emails this week, and Muchisa, you're a manager. Where are you, brother? Oh, there you are. Are you a manager? I don't know what you do. He has a group of guys who report to him, and they've been going through some tough times, and Muchisas has built a relationship with him so much that they're opening up to him about their troubles. And Muchisas is sending him these emails, and he copied me on these emails just to show me. I'm like, Muchisas, you are a pastor in your workplace. He's ministering to him right there. He's like, he said, I'm a man of faith and I pray. I'm going to be praying for you, and here's some advice for you. I just saw this guy, and I emailed him. Muchisas, you don't have to be in a church to be a pastor. You don't have to go to a foreign country to be a missionary. God has you right where you are for a purpose, and unless you know that, you're going to miss all the miracles he wants to do in front of you. So remain, stay, and enjoy. Abide in your workplace. Again, I'm not saying you can never leave your job. I'm just saying where you are right now, be faithful to the people God has put in front of you. Because God is using you to set those people apart so you can reach them. So I want to give some practical advice. This is the part that says, here's what I'm going to do about it. First thing, start with where you are right now. Where are you? Or as God would say to Moses, your hand right now. What's right in front of you? Where do you work? Who are you married to? Who are the family members that don't know Jesus? Just whatever the situation is, where are you right now? And I want you to acknowledge that where you are right now, God has a special purpose for you. God has an assignment for you, and not to overlook that. And so that leads to the second thing. Here's a question to ask God. God, who are you reaching because of my presence here? God, who are you reaching because of my presence here? God, you say that because I'm here, you're setting people apart. Who are the people you are setting apart for you right now? Who are you reaching, God, because of my presence here? Here's a third question. I just add this in from practical experience, but here's the other third question. God, who are my partners? In other words, God has you where you are for a reason, but he may have other people who follow him there too. And so you look around and say, God, who are my partners? I don't want to do this alone. Are there people here who I can partner with to be praying for my family, to be praying for my workplace? Wherever you are, who are the people who have a relationship with Jesus who can be your partners? And here's the fourth question, the final one. God, what do you want me to do here? What do you want me to do here? God may lead you to pull aside a family member and pray with them. God may lead you to start a Bible study with a family member. You know, there are people in your family who will never come to church, but if you say, hey, can we spend a few weeks studying the Bible together, they would probably say yes. You know, there are workmates that would never step inside a church, but because you are there, you bring the church to them because you bring God's presence. I have heard of people starting Bible studies with family members. I have heard of people starting Bible studies in their workplaces during lunch hour where they can't get in trouble for it. And things happen. So we say, God, what do you want me to do? And I want to encourage you to do something bold and risky wherever you are for God, believing that he has you there for a purpose. Who are your partners? What does he want you to do? Where are you? Who is he reaching because of you? In closing, I just want to share a few stories. When I was a campus minister at San Francisco State University, God did something amazing. A wrestling Bible study started with about 15 of the wrestling team. There was a black African-American club on campus, and I was able to start a Bible study there with about 20, 30 people. There was a Latino study as well, a Bible study that sprouted out about maybe 5 or 10 people. And then I found the Pacific Islander Club, and we had a Bible study there as well. So my Samoan brothers and sisters, I'm with you, just you. Okay, there might be a few more. And I've had people say, John, how did you do that? You're not any of those. And here's the secret. I didn't. But I knew people in each of those places that were Christians, and they had an aha of, oh, God has me here for a reason. So I said, let's pray together. Let's get a partnership. And what we did together is we went into each of those environments and said, let's start something here. And we saw people become Christians. Here's the thing. We invited those people to our Christian club on campus for years. They never showed up. But as soon as we went to where they were, said, can we start something with you? God did something. And many of those people became believers. I could not get one wrestler in my group. But I started a wrestling thing with one of the wrestlers who became a Christian, and 15 guys were there. That's why I'm into Ultimate Fighting, by the way. You wonder, where'd that come from? It's their fault. I want to share with you a secret. The greatest church of all is a bunch of secret missionaries going out into their workplace, their families, their brothers and sisters, and telling people about Jesus. Introducing them to God's word, serving them, praying for them, loving them, all in Jesus' name. And when the opportunity arises, they share their lives, and they are reaching people who would never step a foot inside a church. That is the most amazing church to me. It's not by the numbers we have here, but the numbers I know of you going out there. If I begin to hear stories of Bible studies starting, serving, starting, praying for people, wherever you are, I will say, yes, that is the church. That is the secret church, the best church. And God says, I have put you there, and therefore I have made your place holy. You begin to have new eyes for where you are. You begin to see your workplace and your families as a place set apart by God, and you begin to ask, God, what do you want me to do here, right where I am? That's the secret. And it doesn't matter if you're married or single. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, Hispanic, Asian, biracial, multiracial, or Egyptian. It doesn't matter. You be where you are and you serve and you find the partners and you see God just flourish. It doesn't matter if you have a great job or no job. It doesn't matter if you have a PhD or you just got your GED, right? It doesn't matter. You serve God where you are because you know that God has made that place holy because you are in it. So go. Be a missionary. Be a pastor. Be a follower of Jesus right where you are. You don't need to go anywhere else. It's right in front of you. It's the staff in your hand. So God's put it right in front of you. Amen. Now, I just want to say, for those of you who are new to the faith, or perhaps you feel far from God, you hear this and think, missionary? I don't even have my own relationship with God right. Here's what I want to tell you, and you may not know this, but the best gift you can give to your workplace, the best gift you can give to your family, the best gift you can give to your spouse is a vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ. When you love Jesus first, you become a better workmate. You become a better husband or wife. You become a better family member. You become a blessing. You want to be a gift to those around you? Allow God to be a gift to you. Open up your heart. Say, Jesus, I need you. Help me be a blessing. I want to give you that opportunity now. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you because it's your presence in our lives that makes the place holy. And I know there are some of us here who are married to people who don't follow you. And we think, oh God, I just wish it were different. And if you're in that situation, I want to pray for you and say, know that God has you there to be a blessing to your spouse. There are some of you who are in work environments, you're thinking, oh God, if I were just somewhere else. And God is saying, no, I have you there for a purpose. Live it out. And there's some of you who don't know Jesus or are far from him, who have stepped away from him, and you're thinking, God, will you ever receive me back? And God says, I already have if you open yourself to me right now. So open up your heart to him wherever you're at right now. Open yourself up to his will. Believe that he has a higher purpose for where you are right now. If you are not a believer, if you've been far from him, ask him for forgiveness for all that you've done. Open up your heart and say, God, I want you again. I want to be a blessing to those around me. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better wife. I want to be a better workmate. I want to be a better family member. God, forgive me. I want to start new for you. I want to be blessed by you so I can be a blessing to those around me. So God, make us missionaries and pastors wherever we are. I pray, God, that we would hear stories in this church of things happening, not even in this congregation, but out in the families, out in the workplaces. Because we know that you have made those places holy. God, we run from those places because we think they're contaminated, but you say, no, run to those places because you will make them holy. Thank you, Jesus. And if you have never given your life to Jesus or you just need to do that right now, I pray right now that you would do that. You would say, God, forgive me. Welcome to my life. You are my new leader. And we pray all this in Jesus' great name.